So this week we are reading blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Instead of the random conversation that happens.
I'm working at the bookstore tomorrow. I'm going to walk down because I really want to try this iced green monsoon thing.
It's so good. And I want to say I probably have like 4 left.
Hey, book friends. This is Corey. Thanks for listening along as we have a book club of 2 over a cup of tea. Our goal is to explore beloved genres as well as push ourselves out of our comfort zone and explore genres we might typically overlook or avoid. In each episode, we discuss a randomly selected genre. We will be sharing our reading experience and a brief review of the books we recommended to each other from the previous episode. Also a heads up, so that we can have a rich and in-depth conversation, there may be spoilers about the books we are discussing. All right, let's get started. Welcome to episode 1 of our 2018 summer series. In honor of our first anniversary, we are mixing things up and taking our show on the road. Today, we are completing an on-site recording at Flagstaff Tea Company in our lovely downtown Flagstaff. So with that said, this is a new experience for us, our second guest, but our first on-site recording. So the quality of the show might sound a little different to you. We're recording in a new space. We anticipate that our sound editor, Daniel, hey Daniel, will work some magic for us, but it may be a little different sounding. And like, for example, we just heard someone's like car beeping when they locked it. So that happened, and you know, just think of it like if the dog's barking, we might have some weird stuff going on. Before we introduce Heather, I just wanted to tell you where the Flagstaff Tea Company is if you've not been there before. It's located at 123. So, I know, I love that.
It's the perfect address.
It is the perfect address. How can you forever forget it? So, South San Francisco Street. And if you're going, where is that? That's across the street from the Climbing Gym parking lot. That should probably be a good landmark for anyone that lives in Flagstaff. If you don't live in Flagstaff, well, use your Garmin or your Siri or
Google Map,
whatever it is. I don't know why I said Garmin, other than my parents are old school and they have a Garmin on their windshield, which was actually really handy. It like tells you when like the speed limit's slowing down or if you're entering a school zone. I was like, I kind of want a Garmin. All right. But also, fun fact, I just learned out something really cool about this building, which I'm curious if Heather knows.
It was the busiest brothel in all of Flagstaff.
Oh, yeah. That's
cool. It's got a
cool.
Sordid history.
Man.
Yes, if these walls could talk. Never mind.
Like, or show pictures.
People doing in my
ew. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have gone there, but I couldn't resist.
But now it's a delightful tea shop with no signs of brothelness. No.
Yes.
At least not yet.
But it is adorable. We're going to be posting some pictures on here that Kiri very kindly just took. And if you're looking for a new chill place, we don't want to like give away too much of this great secret, but this is like the coziest mm-hmm. little space. It's definitely going to be one of my new favorite places to come and read a book and meet up for tea.
Yep.
And not just because Heather's cool and has good tea, but because it's good mojo space.
Tea place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Good vibes.
Well, welcome, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we have some questions. We're going to try and keep this conversational, but we also wanted to make sure we touched on a few things that we thought maybe listeners might want to know about Heather and her tea shop. So Kiri, you want to kick us off?
Sure. So Heather, would you mind telling us and our listeners a little bit about your background?
Definitely. So I went to culinary school about 10 years ago and I was a professional chef. And I've also always had a strong interest in like natural healing and herbs and just healthy living and a healthy lifestyle. And that's what brought me into tea, just because it's not like coffee where it gets you kind of all, you know,
jittery,
higgledy-piggledy, and then you crash. Like it's more of like a calm focused energy that you can sustain all day. Mm-hmm. And also I love herbal teas too, which don't have caffeine, but they're very medicinal and they can taste really amazing as well.
And it seems like maybe you bake everything that's in your shop here as well.
Yes, I incorporate tea into pretty much everything.
Awesome. Yeah. What are some of your favorites and then some of your customers' favorites?
I would say my favorite would have to be the gluten-free chocolate chip chai cookie.
Mm, oh my gosh,
that sounds yummy.
Because a lot of times you get gluten-free products and they're kind of lacking in texture or moisture. Mm-hmm. And so I just worked for several months and I had a food critic work with me on them.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, every week, I'm like, try this one. And like, finally, he was like, okay, you nailed it. Like, this is the one.
Awesome.
So that's my favorite.
Cool.
And then I would say the customers really like my Earl Grey gooey butter cookies.
Yeah, that's what Corey was saying early.
I may come get one tomorrow.
And then I also make a champagne raspberry white chocolate truffle, which one customer said it was like Cirque du Soleil in your mouth.
Wow.
That's a great description.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of this.
So, now I'm really hungry.
You should have brought treats.
Well, you know, Curie, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, but Curie mainly does gluten-free baking too. So nice. You all will have to compare notes.
Yeah, totally.
I can attest, I've had some of her goodies, and she's pretty darn good.
It's not very gluten-free tasting like, because some
That's
of it, you're
key.
Right, is like cardboard, or you can tell that it's a different flour. It really is kind of a magical skill to be able to make something that tastes normal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
By normal, I mean with gluten.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have a baking challenge for the two of you.
Oh.
All right, let's do it.
So do you remember, I'm drawing a blank on their name, but when I first moved here like 8 years ago, there was a gluten-free baker and you could get him, he baked and had stuff at the market and you could also get it at the little CSA store. And he had this thing that I think he called like an almond horn. And it was basically an almond meringue cookie with like almonds on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that thing was like my kryptonite. It was like the perfect like crispy, chewy, like almondy meringue. And it was like really big and it was light though. It wasn't heavy. And
was it shaped like a horn?
It was kind of like a curve.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, I still miss that cookie. I think about it all the time.
Obviously, if you're bringing it up 6 or 7 years later.
All right. I don't have to hate.
We can see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do an experiment.
I accept the challenge.
I think it'd go well with tea, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think any sort of meringue goes well with tea, like meringue cookie.
Yeah, definitely. So, why did you open a tea shop? So I think jumping from liking tea and being a baker to actually running a tea shop, what was your motivation there? How did this idea come about for you?
Well, I've always worked for other people. I've always been a manager. I've always made other people successful. And I saw this place come up for sale. I think it was on Craigslist, actually. And I was
like the tea shop itself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right, because it used to be run by
a gentleman, and his brother would like get him teas, but then a family emergency happened and I think he had to sell.
And he was like from the Middle East, maybe.
I know he
was from Michigan, I think.
Oh, well, okay, maybe I'm just thinking of his general heritage.
Oh yeah,
from India.
Yeah,
his brothers were from India.
Okay.
And I mentored with him for about a month before he had to move back to I think it was like New York to take care of his dad. Yeah,
that's a bummer. But I guess good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like I've revamped it from what it was before.
Yeah, because they just did chais, I think, and it seems like you have a huge selection of other things besides chai.
Yeah, and I blend all my own teas too.
Oh, okay.
So I take like my culinary background and I apply that to like new fun blends.
It's kind of like a science experiment.
Yes. I feel like a little mad scientist back
there. Do we need to get you goggles and a white jacket?
Yes.
Tea blender on it.
Have you ever had anything that you're like, this is the most amazing tea ever, and then your customers are like, like it totally bombed?
I did have this one special that was inspired by Little Red Riding Hood.
Which I love the idea.
I know. I get a lot of like inspiration from, you know, books and movies and pop culture. But it was a puer, which is like a very dark, mushroomy, earthy tea, which was supposed to be like the wolf. And then I put goji berries on top.
Okay.
To like, for like the red and like goji berries you use when you're in the woods and you, like that would be your food you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
For survival, and it's a like you had to really like search for it to be good, you know, like it's just like straight up just drinking it, not so much.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but the idea behind it I thought was pretty cool.
Do you have anybody taste the teas before you put them like for sale here, or is it just you that's doing the tasting?
I have a few people that taste them for me, like friends. And I had a friend that was working for me, and he's moving to Phoenix now, but he's like a huge tea connoisseur. He's been to Japan and he's worked at other tea places. So he was always my sounding board.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that kind of is a good lead into what makes a good tea review. Like, what are you looking for when people give you feedback for tea?
Definitely, like, if they would recommend it to someone else.
Okay.
Or if they get excited about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
'Cause a lot of times people, they'll drink something and they'll be like, this is wonderful. You know, not too excited. Other times people are like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing in the world. And they get so excited and they want to, like, tell everybody else that's sitting in here about it. Like,
right.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love your stories. So do you find ways to incorporate that? Like, do you put little signs up, like if you have a new tea, or do you just tell people if they happen to ask what your inspirations are?
Yeah, I usually just tell people about the inspirations if they ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a Butterbrew Latte, which is inspired by Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
and it's a smoky black tea with butterscotch froth on top, and it's crazy good.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I will meet you here tomorrow, and we will drink some tea and eat cookies.
I'll get my ice cream monsoon tea, and you'll get your Butterbrew. Yeah, I wish y'all could have seen Curie's face. She, like, it lit up. She was like, no.
We want this right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, that does sound really good.
Where do you usually source your teas? I know that some people source them just from Japan. Some source them just from India. Do you have a mixture?
I try to get them from all over. Because I do a lot of chai.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get a lot of my bases from India,
mm-hmm.
but I also get a lot from Japan, Taiwan, China. I mean, China's huge. And I'm very excited because I'm gonna start sourcing from this company that they only support, like, small growers, small farms.
Oh, cool.
And that's when I was working for my first place when I was a chef. I was interning there,
mm-hmm.
and the chef that I was working for, he basically started the farm-to-table movement in Cleveland.
Oh, cool.
So that's, like, near mm-hmm. and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be having, like, a little farm-to-cup section here.
That's so neat.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite types of tea? What is kind of your go-to? And I know it might depend on the time of day or your mood, but, like, I don't know, what are your top three, depending, and why would they be your top three?
I would say definitely chai, just because with all the spices, like, it's so very, like, cozy and comforting, like, with the cinnamon. It's like pumpkin pie
yeah.
at Thanksgiving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
comfort tea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in Flagstaff, where we have mostly cold weather, like, there's nothing better than a nice spicy chai.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And then second one would be oolongs.
Okay.
Oolongs are magical. They help to promote weight loss. They help like with metabolism, but they also have something that connects with your GABA neurotransmitter in your brain. So it makes you like calm and focused and you just feel good.
Hmm.
So
I might have to ask you to create an oolong because I have not found one that I like so far.
Really?
Yeah.
I could find you a perfect
okay,
one.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of like a tea matchmaker too. Like,
oh, book matchmaking,
yeah.
Tea matchmaking. This partnership is beautiful.
We're a little cheesy too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We like the cheese.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Ooh, I like that. Well, and that's interesting to know because I think, you know, again, like I'm thinking, oh, they'd be a great one to recommend to students when they're a little stressed out and they're needing to focus for exams or writing a paper instead of tossing back the caffeine and getting really
mm-hmm.
jittery.
Right.
Something like an oolong that will give them maybe some energy, but also kind of help them be calm and focused.
Yeah. Oolongs are just, and they make you feel different than any other tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's something with the neurotransmitters
that
in your brain.
That is interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's science.
Yeah.
It's all science.
Well, maybe that'll have to be tea tasting number two, because I think we've I don't know that we've done any.
I think we've done one, and
you were not impressed.
It's green tea. I don't really like green tea unless it has mint or something that hides the green tea-ness of it. Like, I don't like the dirt flavor of green tea.
I can turn you on to something.
I know exactly what you're like. I can see your brain ticking.
Yeah, intuitively, I just know what people will like.
So. Well, and I'm loving that because I feel like I do that at the bookstore with people when they start talking to me. I'm like, oh, okay, I got this. Or even outside of the bookstore, I think I drive people a little crazy because I'll be like, oh, you want a book to read? Let me tell you
about this book that I think will be perfect for you.
That's so handy, though, because you'll go into a bookstore or the library and you're just like, what do I get?
Yeah.
It's super overwhelming.
I know it is helpful because Brightside has the little bookmarks that says recommended by... And then it's one of the booksellers. And it's funny because I went in there the other day and Corey's is almost all of our books that we've read for our podcast. And I almost wrote books and tea because I was you should just put books and tea because these are all the books we've read for the podcast.
And that may be coming
soon. People,
more things in the works.
Yeah.
Tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you like for people to know about your shop? So as far as a couple things that I was going to ask you about as I did a little poking around, and it looks like people can do some online ordering and a tea club.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah, we have a tea of the month club, which is super exciting. Yeah.
Do you want to tell people a little bit about what that is and how they could find it?
Yeah, it's on our website, which is super simple. It's flagstafftea.com, and there are three different levels, and you can choose different amount of times. You could get it for 1 month, 6 months, or a year, I believe. And they're different, with the smaller, more basic one, you get tea bags and little small treats. And then up to the larger level, you get bags of loose leaf and tea accessories. So
it's and Earl Grey gooey butter
Earl Grey
cookies.
Gooey butter cookies.
Yeah. I think I see Books and Tea becoming a subscriber sometime.
Totally.
Yes, I was super excited when I saw that as well. Do you just have a set tea that you send out each month, or do you have people fill out a profile? How do you know what to send to people?
Honestly, I do it kind of seasonally. When the first of the month hits, I just go and stand in front of my wall of tea and I'm like, what am I feeling right now? What do I feel people would really enjoy drinking, depending on the weather? Because a lot of my subscribers are local. Mm-hmm. So I just feel what's feeling like July right now?
Right.
Okay.
That's cool.
And for those of you that are enviously listening, you do online ordering, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. And I'm sure they could probably call or email you and be like, I love this kind of tea. What's the best thing for me? And you could help them kind of
match make remotely. Online.
I feel that should be a website, teamatchmaking.com, where you have a level of professional team matchmakers and people can... be like me, be like, I don't like green tea unless it doesn't taste like green tea,
right.
Or I have not found an oolong that I like, and you can do your magic. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That should be a business.
It should be a service.
Yeah. We should market that.
Yeah. We can collaborate. You do it, we'll market you. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. My last question that I had for you is, what has been the hardest and most fun part of running a tea shop in your own business?
I would say hardest thing, especially coming from, corporate world and working for other people, is you create your own money. Mm-hmm. So that can be amazing in some respects, but can also be kind of daunting as well. Mm-hmm. Because, let's say you don't have a strong day. You're like, what am I gonna do? How do I fix this? Mm-hmm. So it's fun, it's a challenge, but it's definitely, it can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, I bet. Cool. Do you have any last questions?
I don't think so. Oh, what was the positive? What is one thing that you really love about?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, just being able to be creative and, feeling like you're being of service to others and just seeing the smiles on people's faces, especially when they come in here and they're like, it's like they've discovered a magical place. Right. That is
it's a magical tea land.
Exactly. They're like, I didn't know this was here. I love it. And then they start coming all the time. Mm. And it's like I've created a little sanctuary for people.
Mm. Yeah, and that's great.
Yeah, that's really special, I think.
Yeah.
And it is. And so y'all will definitely have to take a look at the pictures. It has like a rough wall, a stone wall. She has a wood-burning stove in here. Mm-hmm.
Paintings on the wall.
Local art, which I always appreciate. She has a little book lending library. So if you want to find a book or drop off a book, you can bring it here. It's a really nice, inviting atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I definitely think people should check it out. And I also made a note, because you didn't mention it, and you're at the farmer's market on Sunday mornings.
Oh, yes. Cool.
Yep. So you can also stop by and say hi to Heather in person there, usually, I'm guessing.
Usually I have somebody, here.
Oh, okay, so you have someone
there. But I'm there, early in the morning, helping her set up.
So yeah, if you want to see Heather, you'll have to come to the tea shop, but you can still get her tea at the market.
Exactly.
Awesome. And we are going to work with Heather to maybe do some sort of little discount code, and we will put that in our show notes to let you know what that is and how you can use it. And we are going to take a little break, and when we come back, Heather is going to have us do a tea tasting, and we're going to do a chai tea flight, right?
Yep.
Exciting.
So kind of like a wine flight, but yeah. We're going to do a tea flight.
Well, I'll be able to drive.
Yes. We'll just need to be a little hopped up because it's not serious. All right, see you soon. And we're back. We have gotten to jump into the little kitchen with Heather and watch her brew up these amazing looking chais. Wait until you see pictures of these.
Oh my goodness, they're right in front of me and I just want to eat them.
And they smell so delish.
Smell so good. It goes from subtle to in your face, and I cannot wait.
So we're gonna let Heather guide us through this tea tasting. We'll probably have some questions along the way, but she's gonna talk about the flavors we should be looking for, what it does for us physically and mentally, and
brewing
tips, and then we're gonna ooh and ah and give you our reactions as we're drinking them. I'll even let you go first, Carrie.
Oh, so I can try it first?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so the first one we're trying is the Kashmiri chai, which is a cardamom-based chai. It has nutmeg, peppermint, black pepper, and cardamom. Lots and lots of cardamom. And it's a black tea base. And I use a little bit of a sharper tea because I feel like it goes really well with those sharp flavors and astringent flavors of the nutmeg and the peppermint and the black pepper.
Corey and I are having tea-gasms right now.
Did you just make the episode explicit?
I mean, we started off with brothels.
It's true. We did talk about brothels at the very beginning. This is delicious.
Oh my gosh.
And this tea is really good for cooling properties. So if you're familiar with Ayurveda, it's a 5,000-year-old ancient healing tradition from India. Mm-hmm. And it's basically that we have three different body types. There's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Pitta is the fiery one. So this